It's never a particularly noticeable thing at this Mass. It happens at later Masses. But today, at the end of Mass, I want to make some personal comments, and I would be grateful if those who leave early would make an exception to your behavior and hang around just a little bit longer. Besides, if you do, there's coffee and donuts back there afterwards, okay? All of us look at food differently. For some, food is about taste, if it's full of sugar or salt. If it tastes good, it is good. If it's fried, it's even better. Bring it on. After all, we can work it off tomorrow, or after the game today, if we can get ourselves up out of the recliner. There are others who read labels, and they think about food in terms of organic and health promoting. For them, it's all about the ingredients. For some, food is their best friend, and they are always after comfort food. While some think of food as an enemy, when you can't get into half the things back there in your closet. Food could be a manifestation of love when a grandmother happily prepares cookies for her grandchildren, and brothers and sisters crowded around a kitchen all helping prepare Thanksgiving family feasts with laughter and stories and joy. It's all about food. For the past several weeks, we've heard a lot about food in John's Gospel. Jesus calls himself the bread of life, and he speaks somewhat disturbingly about consuming his flesh and his blood. To the scandal and the discomfort of those who were listening as he first spoke, he was comparing himself to manna in the desert, which to them was a constant sign of God's care and providential presence. They also did not fail to notice, with the talk of eating flesh and drinking blood, they would have immediately connected with that image of the lamb sacrificed at the Passover. They caught the full impact of these implications, that he was saying that union with him was the way to eternal life. Small-minded critics in the crowd always focused on the literal idea of drinking blood, which appalled them, while really serious critics understood exactly what Jesus was saying, and they protested the audacity of his claim to be speaking for God. But Jesus was speaking the language of the heart and the soul, not the language of chemistry or physics. When he presents himself as bread or as flesh and blood for the eating, the invitation is to receive and take him in such a way that his very life becomes our own. One group of his listeners objected that this idea was bringing God too close. And they objected, wanting to keep God in the temple or behind the veil. But the God Jesus revealed was just too near and maybe too close. Then there was another group who recognized the responsibility of what Jesus was proposing. Worship and keeping the rules was suddenly not enough. They were going to have to live in the love of God, doing the works of God, not just keeping the rules. You see, Jesus was claiming to be the meeting point between the Father and humanity, and he still is. Taking him in, eating, is the way to eternal life that must cause such a transformation in anyone who accepts him. Like the branches on the vine, they share his life as truly as he shared the life of his Father. So in the end, it's still about food. Food that's shared in love. It's about food that restores health, that strengthens the body and the soul, and food that must be shared in service, in love, and with joy. The invitation here, every time we assemble in this place, is really an invitation not so much to eat as it is to become.